No, that's good.
Say good afternoon to everyone. Surely enjoyed this day thus far. Surely good to be able to assemble ourselves and myself again with the Lord's people. Always look forward to that hearing more. You don't know me like I know me. I know that I have a very hard time of coming to this place feeling so short-handed in the task at hand, not able in my mind to proclaim the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that I feel is deserving to Him. I ask answers to your prayers. I stand before you this morning. The Lord has blessed us this day in the preaching, the fellowship, the noon meal. I'm so thankful to Him for all that He blesses us with, the health, the mind, the physical ability to come and present our bodies and to make the best effort that we know how to worship and to praise Him. He rightly deserves all the worship and praise that we can muster up. You know, so many thoughts come to my mind, and I think, and of course the Lord has some ways sometimes that I guess maybe I could say it this way. We've had really hot weather here recently, and whether this old man is not able to stand hot weather as well as used to be, I find there's some more comfortable things to do, and that's to go in the house and sit down in the air conditioning and do a little bit more reading and studying than I usually do. It may not show, it may not give no great benefit to you, but I find much comfort in God's Word and His promises and all that He gives us.
Amen.
You know, I think this morning as we start the service and we've prepared for preachers to come before the Lord's people to preach, and I'm thinking, you know, I know what every one of them is going to preach. If they're called and sent by God, I know what they're going to preach. You know what that is? God's Word. God's Word. And when we get outside of that, you know, sometimes I've changed my mind a little bit for some things I find in the Scriptures. That just, we're given some leeway to use some things beside of the things that God says, if they're like what God says. And I come to that mind in the story with Jeremiah. And again, here to how absolute God was in His Word, and that it was going to be recorded and given to us, that the people there in Israel, they didn't like what Jeremiah was saying. You're going in bondage to a Gentile king, and that's where you're going to be for your mischief, okay? So, to make it short, Jeremiah's writing this, and he's locked up, he can't go. So he gives it to this person that's his secretary or whatever you want to call it, that's writing down what God is telling Jeremiah to write down. And he goes and reads it before this king. And the king don't like it. Actually, he didn't go and read it. He goes and this man reads it to some of the king's men. And the king's men goes in and tells it what Jeremiah has been prophesying towards him and what's going to happen. Well, he didn't, that wasn't good enough. He wanted to go out and get the scroll, bring it in. He wanted to see the exact words himself. So he goes out and gets it, brings it in. And he starts reading it. And he takes out his penknife, it says, and he cuts it up and throws it on the hearth until it's all cut up and put on the hearth. And he sets it on fire and burns it. Then the story goes on, and God tells Jeremiah to write it all again. Jeremiah says that he wrote, he said it, and he said it to this man, I can't pronounce his name, and he wrote down the words that came from Jeremiah's mouth. And he added like words. So, you know, there's many, many words that I think that sometimes that we might not completely read in the scriptures, but if they are like words to the words that God gives us, that means they're very similar to His words and that they are okay with God. We're not totally restricted to. Otherwise, the other thing would be that I would just stand here and read your portion of scripture and hush and go away. And sometimes I say that's well and good, and sometimes I say that my afterthoughts and my thoughts of what God's word says, I should have kept my mouth shut on many occasions. Because God's mind and His knowledge and so forth are so far above mine that I'm a poor, hopeless case standing before you without some help from Him. And I'm thankful that I can have this feeling this morning that I've had some help. I've had some help. This is not a place that I ever dreamed or schemed or had no idea in my life of ever wanting to be here. And still, I'm hurt even in saying that I tried to get away from it. I even tried to come and talk rather into, I'll come back tomorrow, so use these other preachers today. But, you know, I never win. There's a portion of scripture that I want to get to here in a minute. But I'd like to say a few words about a portion of the Bible that's been amazing to me. It has a lot said in it. Don't know if it was all recorded and given to us by David. It's got a lot of peculiarities that goes along with it. With this book. It's the longest book in the Bible, with the most verses, I think, of any book in the Bible. It's the 119th Psalm. This is a wonderful Psalm to sit down sometimes and just to read through. And, you know, I have to say that this, if David wrote it, that he had a lot of encouragement through whippings and trials that he went through.
Yeah.
That he come to the place in his later days, because we know that David's life and the way he lived is a type of each and every one of us, that we're subject to fall into all kinds of things here in this lifetime and so forth and so on. And I've thought so many times about what David writes and how wonderful and how beautiful. And like I said, I don't know for a fact that nothing ever proved to me that David wrote this, but some people think that it was wrote in his latter days and wrote as instructions to his son Solomon that was going to come and set king over Israel after he was gone. Like I said, this is very peculiar. It's got 8 verses in it for every letter in, what is it, either the Greek or the Hebrew alphabet. And every verse in this chapter makes a statement of something pertaining to God. Every verse except 3 verses in it is making some direct statement pertaining to God.
Yeah.
So many things that he says and uses in this. There's one here that I want to read to you, but he uses so many things here about as he's writing this. The one particular verse that came to mind, 119th Psalm, 156th verse, says, "Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments." Quicken me according to thy judgments. Make me alive. Make me know. Make me understand your judgments.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if we run through and look, we'll find that he ended it in many different ways. According to thy word. According to thy loving kindness. I can't name you all of them, but in so many places he added this word to it.
Yeah.
You know, surely to goodness, we've been blessed with so many wonderful things from the God that created this universe and that created man and set us here on this earth and so forth. So many wonderful things that God has done, and I'm so thankful for today. You know, as I said, spoke with the word. That's what we have to preach, the word of God, nothing else. Can you imagine, your mind is as poor as it is, can you even imagine what it would be like today if we did not have God's word. Did shape the condition? Well, we can go back, because you know, most things in the scriptures, we can find how it was and how it is and the reason why it's like it is. And you know, there was a time when God's word was not plentiful upon this earth, and there's been many times since that we read of in the scriptures and we read of the results there. We see what happened on the other side of the flood.
Yeah.
When God had put us away from him, and gosh, how wonderful that today he's given us the privilege again to come back. Come back into that relationship. You know, some people probably, you know, somebody said this when we talked about the Garden of Eden. What a wonderful place it was. But you know, Adam got put out. So then, it wasn't too wonderful a place, was it? I mean, it was a wonderful place, but Adam wasn't there. And I think in my mind that what God has done with the people to God today, that we're in a better place. We're in a better place than Adam was in the Garden of Eden. We again have the privilege and the opportunity and the great blessing of communing, of praying to God, calling him our Heavenly Father. And all of this that had departed and left. I'm thankful for God that before the created man that he had this all programmed and put together. That he didn't sit down over and over and regroup and think about what to do tomorrow and what to do the next day and whatever. I constantly repeat things that I hear people say in my mind, and maybe I wouldn't get mad at you when you use these words. But there's some words that I absolutely don't like to hear people use when they're speaking in the relation of God. I've looked the scriptures through and I don't look real good, and I know I can miss things. And you've probably heard me say this before. I don't believe that the God that created this universe ever wanted for anything. Never ever wanted for anything. And I hear men today that's called a priest and that studied and went to college, and they use that word, God wants you to do this and God wants you to do that. Somebody with the power and the might to do all that we have seen God do. He wants something. He wants you to do something. He has the power and the might to create all this, and he has to want you to do something. God can accomplish in you, or me, or anyone he put up on this earth, whatever he pleases, in that vessel that he set here and flew, put the breath of life in. There's some things that's missing from this. One thing that I know that's missing, to the best of my memory. That's amazing, and as we read through the scriptures, we see the church and the tabernacle service, which is the tabernacle, the type of the church, and so forth. But the tabernacle or the tabernacle service is nowhere mentioned in them 170 verses or whatever it is. It's not mentioned. It's not mentioned. But some wonderful, if they were to Solomon, some wonderful instructions to him and to us in this day and time. This verse of scripture, and if I don't do anything else, I'd love to bring it to your mind. Like I said, God's word, this book, as I said about Jeremiah writing down, Jeremiah was writing what God said by it. And that's what we would find throughout this book, that God was the author of this the scriptures that we have, the author of his word. There's a verse of scripture that I won't read you about, the word. We could be blessed to do so and to think and to meditate and to look into, that probably wouldn't be any end to all that could be said that would be like these words somewhat. In the 4th chapter of Hebrews, the 12th, 4th chapter, the 12th verse, I don't know if I read any more than that, and I don't have any idea what I would like to do with that. Fourth chapter of Hebrews in the 12th verse. So for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That don't sound like words to me from somebody that doesn't want, but doesn't beg, that sets and makes plans. Don't sound like a God of that nature. And you know, if we could, but look at this verse of Scripture and listen to it. Quick, the word quick means live, alive, or living. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. Two-edged sword. If we could think about a two-edged sword, it's a kind of, a lot of things could be said about it. We know that we hear God's word spoken of as the sword of truth. But here we find him saying a two-edged sword. A two-edged sword is all cutting edges. It cuts on that side, on the front, and everywhere it comes. And you know, somebody said something that brought to mind the word physician. And I count the Lord Jesus Christ as the greatest physician that ever walked upon planet Earth. And I say to you, and I say to me and every child of God that there ever is, that this great physician has used on each of us this two-edged sword, dividing asunder things, removing things that need not to be, and making room for things that ought to be. And he is able to do that. He's able to do that, and you go home, not with natural wounds, but an operation that is taking place by somebody that's far above. We count doctors and so forth today, how great and how wonderful. And they're just as great and wonderful as God made them. Just how great and wonderful, but they're not, no comparison to him. He's able to take this two-edged sword and go in and divide us some soul and spirit and change. Operate on your heart. Change your heart from a heart of flesh to a heart of love, and a heart that today, without it, would we be here? Would we be here? Why are you here? You're only here because this great physician has performed this operation. You know, he goes on and piercing and even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. I would say that's our mind and our intellect and so forth. And the joints and the marrow, the way we walk, the way we walk, and the way we talk, and the things that we do. This two-edged sword has put them in the shape that they're in, that God's pleased with them. And it's a discernment of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, we talk about praying. God says there, he knows what you prayed for before you prayed. He knew whether he was going to answer it yes or no. But you know why? The scriptures tells us in so many places, and the scriptures are so wonderful. If we could read them, we could understand them. And sometimes somebody says they don't know how to do this, and they don't know how to do that. Ask God to teach you. You know, so many people today in this country is walking in darkness, if you will. Not in absolute darkness, but in darkness. So many of the truths and things of God that are not spoken. And surely you can blame it on the preacher, but I can blame it on you too. If you hear me this morning say things that's not like what God's word is, you surely ought to bring it to my attention, and you ought to at least go home and search the scriptures to whether it's so or not. You know, all of us are subject to use a word in the wrong place. I even read scriptures all the time. And I said, that can't be true. That just don't sound like it. And then I go back and I realize I missed the little word, not. Not. I skipped that word. I skipped a little word. And first scripture totally changed. And I'm subject to do that as day, as long as I stand here on this planet. You know, we all strive, and it's part of our prideful things, and it hurts us more than anything else. It makes us more our own enemy than anybody else is. That we want to, by the nature of man, we want to be better than everybody else. We want to preach better than everybody else. We want to have something better to preach every day than anybody else. And I hear many people say this over and over, that I found something here that nobody else knows. Nobody else has heard this. Nobody. God's never revealed this to anybody else but me.
Yeah.
I've heard that. You know, all that we do, we ought to make every effort that we can in every way that we can. Do the things that God says. Obey the gospel. Preach the gospel. That's all God said do. He'll take care of the rest. He said his word won't return to him void. He didn't tell you. He didn't put no bounds around who you was preached to and who you was not.
Right.
I told the wife coming up the road this morning, we want to throw all the bad people out of church. We ought to all leave. We're bad. We're bad. The church is for bad people. The church is for people that needs the doctor, that needs the physician.
Yeah.
The Lord said to himself, he didn't come to save the righteous, but sinners.
Yeah.
And if we would realize that we're sinners, I believe it would drive us more to the place we ought to be. On our knees before him.
Yeah.
Begging for something that he's promised, and you'll get it. Begging for his mercy.
Yeah.
Begging that he will overlook the poor earthling that I have become. And thank him if you ever have an inkling of a mind that he's changed that nature.
Yeah.
And made us into one. You know, I know how we are. We're running ourselves down, and we are without him. But I tell you, if my opinion is right, if Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you're not all bad. You're not all bad.
No. Amen.
And if Christ be in you, the hope of glory, he'll take you to glory.
Yes.
He'll take you. May God bless you is my prayer.
Bless you.